from the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, it's almost time for Game Week 37. Time to get shot at Jota. Time to get Mo in the dough and Kane and Bruno. You gotta. We've got all the top tips and player flips you need for the penultimate round of action in this, the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello once again to you, Fantasy Manager. Thank you for joining us. It's a special extra show for us today. Ahead of the midweek fixtures, the penultimate round of this season, we've got a special lineup for you, of course. Former pro Adrian Clark joins us. Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
Alongside him, author and football writer Tom Williams, now in the top 80K, ladies and gents.
Hello, James. Thanks for mentioning that.
Nice to see you, Tom. Yep. And top two in the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Thanks for that introduction, James. Very nice to be here.
Yeah. Although, you know, it's touch and go for you in that mini league, A-League, because Sam had Tyreek Mitchell this weekend.
Yeah, listen, this is that's why I'm two of two in FPL family, because a stroke of luck like that doesn't happen for me. I'm going to get my little violin out now. That sort of thing doesn't happen to me, but for Sam... Tyreek Mitchell coming in with a 13-pointer.
Right.
Far too regular an occurrence.
The cheapest player in the game popping in with, as you say, a double-digit return, a goal and an assist. By and large, we all got fairly evenly matched scores. I think there's only 4 points between us. We're quite a mid-range in the kind of high 50s. Average for game week 36 was a measly 38. Highest around the world was 118 points, which is pretty good going. There were some incredible success stories out there, not just Sam Bonfield, but 28 managers triple-captained Alisson. Can you imagine how they felt late on Sunday afternoon?
Who is doing that, though? Who is actually
doing that?
No one in their right mind triple-captains a goalie. Come on.
Well, you might feel like, I don't know if Salah's going to score, I don't know if Kane's going to score, but I'm really confident that Alisson will get the clean sheet against West Brom. As it turned out, he didn't, of course. One owner, triple captain Scott Carson, which is an even more random pick.
Surely that was Scott Carson.
Yeah,
Scott Carson's mum. Yeah.
Do you know, it might have been. It might have been, or Mrs. Carson. I don't know. Clearly, he didn't get a clean sheet or a goal. And one manager, triple captained 17-year-old Daniel Jebison. And again, Tom, I think you might be on the right track with the relative or Daniel himself, as he made his full debut for Sheffield United and promptly scored the winner. Incredible.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? And he looked good. And I think on the back of that performance, he'll definitely play the last couple of games. So,
are you bringing him in, Adrian?
I don't know about that. I haven't got. No, I need to make a change elsewhere. Really? But
be the manager that we're talking about next week.
Yeah, that's amazing. How much does he cost? I mean, he can't cost very much, can he?
Yeah, he's 4.5, isn't he, Jebison? So there you go, Adrian. He's a bargain differential for you.
But then I need to make two. I need to make two transfers, really, to justify that. So I'm not going to. But some might.
They might do. A lot of managers, I think, might be tempted to get in on Ferran Torres if they weren't already, after he had that huge haul for Man City against Newcastle. He scored five in his last four. He's 6.9 million. The only question is, he plays for Pep Guardiola. So, yeah, everyone's now shaking their head. It's tempting, though, isn't it?
No,
I think it is.
It's
tempting.
Not. I don't think. Well, come on, it's not tempting. You know, no one has any idea whether or not he's going to start in these last two games. As a gamble, if it pays off, then great. You look brilliant. But you know, the first rule of successful fantasy football is to pick players who are going to play, and you can't be sure of that with Torres.
Right. Second rule is there is no.
That one.
Tom, do you think he's part of the first 11, though? Because he surely doesn't start in the Champions League final. So
there is no first 11. This is Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. There is no first 11.
He's fighting for a place in the Champions League final. Come on, this is a guy that's on form, wants his place.
A difference. I could not, in good conscience, put my hand on my heart and encourage anyone to pick Ferran Torres.
I'm so tempted to get Ferran Torres now, Tom. That's a personal thing.
It's a good soundbite.
Yeah.
Pep will not want his big guns or his star men that he definitely wants to start in the Champions League final. He won't want them to get rusty. It's a lottery to second guess which match of the two he's more likely to play the Champions League players in. But he's going to have to use them across these two games. Otherwise, it will be too long in between matches. So, yeah, I'm with Tom here. I'd probably steer clear of City players because you just don't know.
Okay, what to do then about Diogo Jota, which is one of the big questions. He's got, I think, 12% ownership among the 8 million managers worldwide. He's now confirmed out for the rest of the season. It's actually, I think, one of the key fires that needs putting out. Or maybe your squad is big enough that you can just leave him on the bench. I don't know. What's your view, Tom?
I think it's a great opportunity to bring in a differential. And we've arrived at that stage of the season where people are looking at their mini league placings. And those sorts of decisions can be crucial. In a couple of my mini leagues, I'm top by a point in one, top by only 4 points in the other. And last week I brought in Che Adams, the Southampton striker. He picked up 9 points and was basically the difference between a sort of half decent week and what ended up being, you know, quite a good week. So I am thinking of replacing Diogo Jota with Anasamaximan. Newcastle at home to Sheffield United and away to Fulham. Two good fixtures. There'll be fans in at St James's Park as well. I suspect that's the sort of thing that he is likely to respond well to. So that is my current plan for the post Jota era. Tom. Thanks, Adrian. Thanks.
Lee, do you have Jota? And if you do, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah, I do. And like Tom, I'll be looking at Newcastle as well because those fixtures are incredible. Anasamaximan, definitely an option. But Joe Willock as well has really crept under the radar, hasn't he, for the last few weeks. Newcastle in great scoring form, 13 goals in the last six, which makes them top for goals scored over the last six game weeks. So, he's the one that's not just creating, but scoring and getting in those those positions as well. So, yeah, have a look at Newcastle or start to have a look at Leeds as well. If you haven't got Rafinha or Harrison, I think we're going to talk about Leeds a bit later on in more detail, but those two guys look good as well. But I'm with Tom. I think looking at Newcastle is a great strategy.
All right. Or do you know who you could directly swap across from? Same price, 6.9 as Diogo Jota? Ferran Torres. How about that for a little
there
different
we go. Election? Get him in. It's to be.
Lovely stuff. Adrian, you don't have Jota, but you have got lots of other midfield ideas.
I've got one of my own who delivered at the weekend who I don't... Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of love on this podcast. It's Anwar El Ghazi. He is cheap,
right?
5.2, and he delivers. Now, I've looked at it. He's got 9 this season, but he obviously has missed chunks of the campaign because he's kind of been Grealish's understudy. Anwar El Ghazi scores a goal every 160 minutes. That's right. A phenomenal return.
There's only 180 left in the
yeah, that is true. So we'll get one, won't he? Not a problem. There's your guaranteed points there. But no, I just think for a winger, that's a spectacular return. Now, two tough fixtures to finish with, but look, Spurs aren't anything to write home about. Villa could easily go there on the front foot and score goals. So El Ghazi's someone to consider. I'm just chucking it out there.
That's an interesting take on Spurs Villa, which is coming up on Wednesday. Let's get a more detailed examination of exactly where the points are going to come, we think, in the next round as we run through the game week 37 fixtures. It's a Tuesday 4:30 deadline for your teams, a listener. That's quite challenging, isn't it? 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, so no time to waste. That day we've got Man United and Fulham, and then Saints against Leeds kicking off at 6 o'clock. A little later on Tuesday evening, Brighton against Man City, then a potentially huge game for the top four, Chelsea-Leicester. 6 games on Wednesday, Everton-Wolves, Newcastle-Sheffield United, Spurs-Villa, Palace-Arsenal, Burnley-Liverpool and West Brom-West Ham. So who are this week's Alissons and Jeppesons? Who are you guys targeting? We just heard about Spurs-Villa, actually. Tom, do you second Adrian's opinion that this is a good chance for Villa players to reap big point returns?
I mean, potentially. My suspicion is that this is actually probably a better fixture to be looking at the Spurs players. And I think a big factor in these midweek games is going to be the return of fans to stadiums, something we've obviously all been looking forward to all season. And I think from an FPL perspective, it could have a positive impact on the fortunes of those teams who were playing in front of their home fans. I know, you know, that there were some games with fans in sort of mid-season, but you know, that that was a while ago, and I think that is the sort of thing that that could have an impact on the way teams play. So yeah, I'm looking at some of the teams with home fixtures: Man United, Southampton, Everton, Newcastle, Spurs, all got quite nice looking games. Spurs no longer in the running for Champions League, but you've got players chasing personal objectives, not least Harry Kane, who is gunning for the golden boot with Mo Salah. And we know from previous experience with Harry Kane that he does occasionally end seasons with avalanches of goals. You think back to, what was it, 2016-17, he scored 7 goals in 2 games. And you know, with the Spurs fans in, with that bit of feel-good factor you've got back thanks to Ryan Mason, I think this should be one that Spurs win. Villa have only kept 1 clean sheet in the last 10 league games. Injury doubts over Matt Cash and Tyrone Mings, both of whom missed the defeat at Palace at the weekend. So Villa looking a little bit vulnerable. I don't feel entirely great about that because I've got Emi Martinez in goal and haven't really got anyone who I can swap him out for. But I've got Harry Kane and Son Heung-min. So if it means Martinez having to pick the ball out of his net a few times because they're racking up the goals, so be it.
So be it. I'm not sure how many people would be countenancing using a transfer on a keeper at this point of the season.
It feels like a waste of a transfer, doesn't
it? Right, okay. So you're just going to soak up the pain with Martinez. I mean, he might make loads of save points anyway. I'm certainly going to get Kane in and take a points hit to do it because I didn't have him this weekend and I don't want to sit through a Spurs game with Adam again. It was really, really painful.
He looked sharp, didn't he? Yeah. I wonder how many fantasy league players will call Jack Grealish up again. Obviously, he's got 2 games to impress Gareth Southgate, hasn't he? Surely he'll get a run out and basically look to be Roy the Rovers, I would imagine, between now and the end of the season. So that's just one to consider. On him, by the way, I looked into... So I was looking at other players on chances created in open play this season. Jack Grealish, who's been out forever, right? I mean, when was the last time he played? He's still second for chances created in open play, 66 of them behind Bruno Fernandes, who leads the way. So, yeah, I mean,
he's also the most fouled as well. I don't know if you spotted that. He's by miles the most fouled player in the Premier League,
even though
he's missed the last dozen games.
Yeah, he loves
one that. Fixture which is going to feature probably a lot of players that managers will still have in their squads is Chelsea-Leicester. Certainly the meeting on Saturday between the two wouldn't have been great in FPL terms. It was fantastic viewing for all sorts of other reasons. Will the Tuesday's game, do you think, be similar? Thomas Tuchel, will he look to make major changes in what's now a huge game for both clubs? So what do you think he's going to do, Adrian?
Yeah, I think he will make changes because it's a big advantage. He's got the advantage over Leicester, who don't really have the luxury to make a lot of dramatic changes compared to Chelsea. And let's be honest, they didn't really turn up at Wembley. So those guys that were on the bench, I'm thinking definitely Kai Havertz, he's got to be nailed on to start this game. I think Christian Pulisic as well will get the nod. And if you add in Mason Mount to the mix there, that's probably your front three, isn't it? So maybe get one of those on board. But is this going to be a high-scoring game? It's... based on what we saw at Wembley, you'd suggest not, wouldn't you? So it might be a day for Chelsea defenders or keepers. I've got Mendy, and yeah, I'm sort of looking to him to maybe pick up a clean sheet here. But no, it's a hard game to call, isn't
right?
It?
As you say,
hard game to call.
Maybe not going to see huge numbers of attacking returns. Lee, you've got your eye on Man United because they're Man United and they're playing Fulham.
Well, yeah, a bit like when Tom was talking about the malaise at Aston Villa right now in terms of their defence. Fulham, certainly since they've gone down, they seem to have, I'm afraid, given up a little bit. That there aren't any teams that have created fewer big chances than them over the last 6 game weeks. Only 3 big chances in 6 game weeks. So they're not exactly scoring a bunch of goals. They're not even getting...
And they've conceded a league-leading 13 big chances across their last 4 games. So
yeah, absolutely. So sometimes we sit here and we say, well, you know, XG this or XGC, maybe they've been a bit unlucky or lucky, but the underlying stats are bad and they are playing out in front of our very eyes in terms of the amount of goals that they're conceding and the amount of chances that they are not creating. So Luke Shaw looks really good. He's in my team. He will absolutely be playing him this week.
I thought you were going to say he'll absolutely be rested for the Europa League final.
It's entirely possible. You're always running a bit of a gauntlet on that side, aren't you, with Telles around, rather than the maybe the slight, a bit more assured with Wan-Bissaka maybe on the other side. But Luke Shaw's creativity means that he can get points at both ends of the pitch. So I'd have no problem with playing him. But there are a lot of FPL managers that have sold Bruno Fernandes in the last few weeks because perhaps we weren't seeing the form from Bruno that maybe we saw at the beginning of the season. A lot of rhetoric about, is he a bit tired? Is he saving himself for the final? All that sort of stuff. But actually, in the more recent past, in the last two or three game weeks, he's starting to find a little bit more form and certainly did against Roma in the Europa League not so long ago. He's taken 21 shots in the last six game weeks. Only Salah's fired off more than that. And only Greenwood, his teammate, has had more shots in the box. Greenwood had 16 and Fernandes has had 12 in the last six game weeks. So Bruno is actually getting those shots away, getting them away in decent areas. So I think he's a decent captaincy shout against a really, really not just shot shy in terms of attack Fulham, but a very, very leaky defence in recent times as well.
I didn't get any of that because I got my fingers in my ears. I don't want to know that Bruno that I missed the boat again on Bruno. Is that right? Because I was one of those people with that rhetoric that you were just talking about. I needed the money for other projects, none of which have worked out. And yes, I've seen him return to form. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I've kept faith with Bruno Fernandes all along and am planning to captain him this weekend. I think if Solskjaer does rotate ahead of the Europa League final, it's more likely to be in the final fixture.
Right.
I think the players themselves will want to play in this home game with fans in because, you know, they'll have missed that as much as the fans have missed watching them. And you know, Bruno Fernandes, it's one of the curiosities of his phenomenally successful Man United tenure so far is that he's barely played in front of any fans because he arrived end of January 2020. And then, you know, we all went into lockdown a couple of months later. So I suspect players like him will be really keen to start this game. And I think if Solskjaer is going to rotate, or at least, you know, I'm hoping this will be the case, then that will be in that final United fixture away at Wolves. So yeah, very much still on board the Bruno Fernandes bandwagon.
He is the top scoring player in fantasy. And if anybody is rotation proof at Man United, the track record seems, well, apart from Harry Maguire, who's now injured anyway, but it would seem to be Bruno Fernandes.
You seem a bit tentative when we're talking about Bruno, James. No Bruno or Kane for you and your team then? There must be some hits planned here this week.
Yeah, I mean, Lister doesn't care about what's in my team. We don't need to discuss this, but it is true that I'm concerned about this. I was happy with my projected 4-point hit to bring in Kane and make a shift to a Smith Rowe or an interesting but affordable midfielder. But now apparently I need to get in Fernandes. So that's really, I've got to go away and take a long, hard look at things. But I do need Kane and I do apparently need Bruno Fernandes. So I think we might be looking at an 8-pointer and climbing.
Yeah, Tom's right. I think if I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'm playing my cup final team against Fulham in front of the fans, and I am playing the B squad, the Van der Beek B squad at Wolves. Well, they'll still beat Wolves because the Wolves are so bad that anyone, you know, United would beat them with their second string. So
Man United players then, Adrian. It's Fernandes, is it Shaw? Who would the other two?
Yeah, I've got Shaw. Yeah, I think Fernandes if you can, and I've also got Rashford, who a lot of people haven't had Rashford. They've obviously gone down the Fernandes route, but Rashford's been a good servant to me, despite my lowly league position. He's delivered quite well for me this season. So I'll be sticking with him.
Anyway, Adrian, we were talking about Leeds before. I think Lee was flagging them up, and that's again you're particularly focusing on this midweek, the Saints game.
I think it's got goals written all over it, really. Nothing to play for. We saw Leeds just explode into life, didn't we, against Burnley? When that happens, they're so exciting to watch, aren't they? And they've freshened up their team a little bit of late. I think Rodrigo has to be considered a possible pick, a differential, because he's obviously missed a lot of this season, but seems in favour at the moment and came on and delivered. So maybe he'll start this game, I would imagine. So that's definitely a player to consider. Fit again, Rafinha obviously the numbers are amazing on him. Still, I think he's created 57 chances, and that's at least 20 more than any teammate since he arrived at Leeds United, of course, because he wasn't around at the start of the campaign. So Rafinha and Rodrigo, I think, are great picks for Leeds.
What about Harrison, who loads of people are getting excited about? He had the 16-point return against Burnley. He is now the best value midfielder in FPL, 27.3 points per million spent, if you're curious. Is that something that you think will continue across the next couple of games or against Saints midweek?
Could easily happen, couldn't it? He plays pretty much every week. He's got a great relationship with Alioski down that side. Wonderful supply line. Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm getting in a Leeds midfielder along with all these other players I'm getting, which one should I get? Should it be Rafinha, who's been the more glamorous pick for a while? Or would you plump for Harrison?
Ooh, I think it's a toss of a coin. I genuinely do. Rafinha's got the magic in his boots. He can conjure up these moments. But I would say, Harrison is probably the more reliable pick because he. But I mean, I've recently commentated on a couple of Leeds games of late, and the number of times that Harrison has whipped balls along the face of goal, the Spurs game is one that really springs to mind. It's frightening, and he could easily have had three or four assists in that game against Spurs alone. So yeah, look, I've made my mind up as I speak. Harrison, I think, would be the pick. Yeah, that's the pick.
It's Harrison, is it? Tom, have you got a Leeds midfielder?
I've got Rafinha. And looking at their ownerships, both under 8%, 7.1% of FPL managers have got Rafinha, 4.5% have got Harrison. And after going to Southampton in midweek, they finished the campaign at home to West Brom in front of fans at Ellen Road. They'll be getting their first glimpse of Premier League football pretty much the whole season. Did they have any fans in mid-season? I'm trying to think. Anyway, you know, it'll be a lovely day in the sunshine celebrating their survival against relegated opposition. So I think if you don't have at least one Leeds midfielder or forward in your team, that might be something to worry about.
I'm worried. Okay, Lee?
Yeah, I think either's good. The only thing I will say is that Jack Harrison's recent form has been so... Has it been good because Rafinha's not been there? Has he decided that he's going to be the creative engine of that side? Has he taken it upon himself to pick up that mantle? I just wonder, with Rafinha coming back, maybe he relinquishes control of that mantle a little bit. I don't know. Listen, they're both really good. And Harrison, in particular, certainly last game week, was on absolute fire, wasn't he? So you wouldn't back against him.
Who've you got, Lee?
I've got Rafinha.
Who's Sam got?
She's got neither right now. She's got Dallas, but she is going to play. She is planning to get one of those two in this week, and I think it's Harrison.
She's a good judge, isn't she? We know that. Proven over many seasons.
Yeah. If she's gone Harrison and I've gone Rafinha, then you know where to go.
Adrian, so sorry, you wanted to tell us about all the Southampton assets we should get. Let's hear them.
Well, I think that you've got to look at the front guys, haven't you? Che Adams has been magnificent value, hasn't he? 5.7 million. I can see Tom, you know, smugly nodding as we speak because he brought him in recently. But I wish I had, because if you have a Che Adams, it allows you to potentially bring in that Fernandez back or bring in the stellar midfield name, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think he's been incredibly consistent. Nine goals this season. He's right up there among the leading scorers, isn't he, in terms of
has he been consistent? Because I had him for a bunch of time and he never did anything for me.
Yeah, well, look, but the points tally doesn't lie, does it? And if you'd have stuck with him over the course of the season, I'm a big Ings man.
Right.
And when he's been fully fit, I've always wanted Danny Ings in my team because he doesn't just score goals, he makes chances and goals as well. But I just feel that he's not fully fit, and that he's not playing many 90 minutes at the moment.
It's a difficult price as well for Ings, whereas Che Adams is, as you say, on the affordable end of the kind of 6 million strikers. He's 5.7. Danny Ings is 8.4, which is requires a little bit more engineering and that. Tom?
Yeah, also with Ings being back in the team, I think Che Adams benefits from that because it's someone else for opposition centre-backs to worry about. You look at how Adams' form has responded to Ings being back in the team. He's got 20 points across his last two matches. And I don't think he'd be doing that if he wasn't playing alongside Ings again. So if you are looking for a way into that Southampton attack, then, and I'm not just saying this because I brought him in last week and he produced the goods, I think it makes a lot of sense to go Adams rather than Ings.
Lee, what about just on the subject of Leeds putting four past Burnley the other day, the next team to face the Clarets, who don't seem to be attacking these final games with quite the same intensity, are Liverpool, who will be on a high after that extraordinary finale against West Brom. We mentioned the fact that Jota's now out. Mo Salah did get a goal and a great goal against the Baggies. Burnley as well with Nick Pope injured. I mentioned Leeds putting all those goals past. What do you think? Would you opt for a Mane or something? Or do you think Salah's more than enough coverage? And what about Trent? Because the clean sheets have been completely non-existent of late for Liverpool.
Well, yes to all of those things. I mean, first of all, how good was that Alisson goal? I mean, that's a header that most strikers would be proud of, wasn't it? And that's probably the goal I've celebrated the most as a Liverpool fan this season. I absolutely loved it, I have to say. But Mo Salah does look good for this game, no doubt about it. I mean, Mane has shown he's been better in recent weeks. He's shown a bit of form. Obviously, he showed a little bit of, anger, a little bit of, bit of a tantrum, wasn't there, at the end of the game, previous game week, against Manchester United when he was dropped for that game. And he and Klopp had a bit of a tete-a-tete at the end there. But that seemed to be cleared up and he had a reasonable game against West Brom. But Mo Salah is the form player right now. Six returns in the last seven. And certainly that game against West Brom, four shots, three on target, four chances created, and despite Alisson getting the goal, it was Salah that got the bonus point. So he's the one to have, I think. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, if you want to compliment Mo Salah with Trent, then I would have no hesitation in doing that either. I have both those guys in my team. And to be honest, I'm kind of disappointed that Jota misses out with the injury because he would have been locked in my team for this Burnley game and then in the final game week against Crystal Palace as well. But not to be, unfortunately. But yeah, Trent and Salah, both in my team, very happy to have them there.
I think it's a good point. I really do. Trent Alexander-Arnold's on fire. Five key passes in all of his last three matches. He is delivering some amazing ammunition at the moment. He's their most creative player. I'm guessing 15 key passes over three games might make him the most creative player in the division across that time period. So if you can afford Alexander-Arnold, definitely do it. I'm sticking with Salah for sure. But I did look at Liverpool's recent matches at Turf Moor because players have grounds there where they maybe succeed more or less. And he hasn't scored at Turf Moor, Salah. Whereas Mane and Firmino, one of them has scored in the last three visits. They've got two apiece across the last three seasons.
So how many visits has he had to Turf Moor without scoring there then?
I think three. I can't recall. I didn't jot down whether he'd started every single game. But Mane and Firmino have delivered at Turf Moor before. Salah hasn't.
Okay.
This is absolute music to my ears, Adrian, because whereas James is feeling anxious about not having Fernandes and Kane, I'm feeling anxious about not having Salah. And I would even go so far as to say that Salah not having a good afternoon at Turf Moor could be the difference for me this season between having a great memorable season where I win all the mini leagues that I want to win and not. So I'm going to be sitting there crossing my fingers that he fluffs his lines again and then cynically bringing him in for the last game of the season to prevent all my mini league rivals who do have Salah from being able to overtake me.
Right, just do a little sneaky evil laugh at the end of that and yeah. No. So
that was me trying to warm up for it.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. No, that was evil enough for me. Next up, let's have a look at some of your answers to our Twitter question this week, which is how many Golden Boot challengers are you thinking of having in your FPL team? Hashtag FPL pod for this week's Twitter question and your answers. The question was, how many Golden Boot challengers are you having in your FPL team? Here are some answers. FPL Payne says just three. Kane, Salah and Alisson. Nice one. Bilal says, I have Salah, of course. Kane, of course. Son, of course. I don't have Bruno, as Ollie will rest him for the Europa League final. Well, we have given our thoughts on when and if he'll be rested. Chuck says one, but ideally would be zero. They are already owned by everyone. No differential if goal is to go up the ranking. Yeah, I mean, that's an approach. I'm not sure.
That's bold.
Yeah.
Very bold.
Here's Turk, who says three, actually. Kane, Son and Salah. Salah with a Burnley side without Pope looks leaky. Here's another one. Sorry, Real Football Chat. Bruno and Kane, Sonny Boy ain't getting no points, says Real Football Chat. He's confident on that last point. Harry Kane with his goal and... Did he get bonus points as well at the weekend?
Yes, he got 2 bonus points and he hit the post twice.
Okay.
That I was counting.
He is now on his best ever FPL season. Absolutely huge. And, I mean, you've all got him in, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely got him. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the assists are ridiculous, aren't they? He's my footballer of the year. I just think he's been amazing. Definitely his best all-round season as a footballer.
So he's a must-have for this weekend for this midweek and potentially the weekend as well. How many Golden Boot challengers is the question? Do you have others in? Wow, Adrian, you've got 4 fingers up.
Wow, yeah, but it's pushing it. But Calvert-Lewin with a couple of hat-tricks... Can get his hands on the Golden Boot, can't he?
Okay, so, but that's an
not based on what we saw the other night.
Yeah,
no, you're right. But he is playing Wolves, who are awful.
But they're at home again, and no one's more awful than Everton at home. I've got Calvert-Lewin in my team, and I really don't know what to do about it.
No, it's a tough one. But Carlo Ancelotti was really angry.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I wouldn't want to upset Carlo. I think there might be a reaction against a Wolves team that are treading water desperately. I think having been diabolical at Goodison Park all season,
right,
they are actually going to turn up for once.
With the fans?
Especially, yeah, exactly, yeah, with the fans there. I am considering just a little bit of a random captaining of Calvert-Lewin.
Oof, goodness me. There's a sharpie and take a breath across the whole corner.
Yeah, well, this is why I've had such a poor season, because of my Maverick captain calls. But there you go.
I'm just putting it out there. How many Golden Boot challenges do you have in your team, Tom, or will you have by the time the deadline rolls around at 4:30 on Tuesday?
Well, it depends how far you go down the top scorer standings.
Well, let's not get too creative.
Going by Adrian's logic. I have Harry Kane, I've got Bruno Fernandes, and I've got Son Heung-min.
But you don't have Salah.
One really Kane, but right, 3 if you stretch it to include some players further down.
What do you think, Lee? How many do you need?
Well, I've got Kane and Salah, and I think you should have both of those guys in your team. I have Bruno as well, if you can count him in the conversation. So I have 3, and I think all 3 of them are, I wouldn't say essential for this week, but they look really, really good options and good captaincy options as well. But better than Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Adrian, I'm sorry.
Right. Well, you know what? Let's have a chat then, having given our thoughts to that big Golden Boot question. Let's have a chat about captaincy next to finish off today's show. All right then, 4:30 Tuesday afternoon is the deadline for the midweek round. And then, of course, we've got another one at the weekend. And we've got another official Fantasy Premier League podcast between the midweek round and that final set of fixtures. But for now then, what are we planning to do midweek in terms of transfers? And then let's get your captaincy nominations. Tom, what are you doing transfer-wise?
So as mentioned, I am going to replace Diogo Jota probably with Alan Saint-Maximin. As Lee was saying, I do like the look of Joe Willock as well. 5 goals in his last 5 appearances. He even took a penalty against City in Newcastle's most recent outing. So he has come into my thinking, but I think it'll probably be Saint-Maximin.
Okay. Adrian, what have you got lined up?
I've made one already. I jumped the gun a little bit. Because of fixtures and because of matches that matter, I've shifted Ollie Watkins out and I'm bringing Mikel Antonio in just because I think West Ham they might as well go for it between now and the end of the season. And the fixtures are quite kind in terms of who they're up against. So that's one. But this appearance on the podcast has definitely made my mind up to go for a second. Saka's going to go. He's back at wing back at the moment. So he will have to depart, and I'm either going to copy Tom shamelessly and go for Saint-Maximin, or I'm going to follow my own advice and go for Jack Harrison, and I promise I will do one or the other.
Nice. Mm. Lee, what about you?
Well, I've got 2 red flags in my team right now, both Jota and Veltman. Red flagged, and certainly at least Jota not coming back for the foreseeable. So probably got to deal with one of those 2, given I'll have a pretty threadbare bench if I don't do that. And if I was going to get rid of Jota, I think I would follow Tom to St James's Park, you know, but I think I would go Willock. If he's going to take penalties as well, as Tom was suggesting, five in his last five, he's super cheap as well. So at 4.7, I think is his price. I could then upgrade Veltman to somebody of substance at the back should I want to spend my money there.
That's a huge shout. 4.7 for a midfielder who has been returning every single week for the last five game weeks.
Yikes. There's your Kane enabler, James.
Well, do you know,
or your Bruno one, depending on which way you want to go.
What I might have to do is sacrifice Gareth Bale ahead of these final rounds in order to free up funds for all of this.
In front of the home Spurs fans, James.
I know, but that's
his last ever Spurs home appearance.
Being a manager is all about making the tough calls. If you can't make the tough calls, you're in the wrong business. Right, okay. So, well, that's not helped me at all. But what about captaincy then? We've already had some of your thoughts, but just confirm it for us. Adrian, your captaincy pick is Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
This ridicule has slightly put me off.
Go with your gut. Yeah.
Harry Kane would be my obvious pick, but I'm just a little bit bored of captaining Harry. So maybe DCL will get the armband.
Why not?
I think he deserves it.
All right, you go for it. Tom?
Bruno Fernandes.
Fair enough.
Backing him to bow out in style for the season in front of the fans at Old Trafford.
Lovely. Lee?
Harry Kane for me. I mean, he was unlucky not to get more points at the weekend. Patricio with one great save onto the post. So he did get a great score at the weekend, but he could have had even more. And he's so good at home. The Spurs fans are back. The atmosphere in the stadium's going to be good. Got to have him, James. Got to have him.
It's got to be done. I've got a lot of work to do. I bet we all have. What with events and things that are about to happen, and we've not got long to do it. As I mentioned, 4:30 on Tuesday is the deadline. Best of luck, everybody. Many thanks to Tom, Adrian and Lee for being with us today. We're back with another FPL show. Should be with you Thursday evening-ish, previewing the final round of action coming up on Sunday. So look forward to speaking to you then. For now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.